Hello and welcome to Hope Chapel Huntington Beach's Sunday Celebration Service, given by Pastor Paul Harmon. This message was recorded on March 22nd, 2015, and is entitled, Touched by an Angel.
Thank you. Well, I have my Bible. Let's go for it. Grab your bulletin. That would be exciting as well. Thank you, ushers. Man, we have the best ushers, have we? And usherettes. I don't know if they're... It's kind of like angel. It's both, you know, male or female usher. That's how's that. But cute story about an usher. I know you want to hear it. We had just great ushers. And so this basically senior saint came through the door. As you know, sometimes they need extra help. And so that senior saint told the usher, I'd like to sit up front in the front row. And the usher said, ma'am, I don't know if you know our pastor. You're new here. He really can speak long and be really quite boring, and you might fall asleep. Would you like to be in the back seats? She says, young man, do you know who I am? No, ma'am, I don't. I'm the pastor's mother. So he said, ma'am, do you know who I am? He's, no, I don't. He said, oh, thank you, Jesus, and walked away. So as we take a look here, you could see in the back of the bulletin, touched by an angel. We have been enjoying ourselves. We spent 4 weeks talking about the Holy Spirit. Last Sunday, we talked about Satan himself, which is another spirit. We're wrapping it up with talking about angels. All of us have been touched by an angel. If you haven't, you will one day when the harvest, when God sends forth his angels and harvests every human being on this planet. Interesting, isn't it? So we'll get a chance to be touched by an angel somehow. But we're taking a look, and if you've missed any of those messages, go on the church websites right there on the bulletin. Why don't you access that? I think it'd be well worth it because we want you to be well informed. These are things that are foundational truths that will not only help bring stability, but certainly helpful for you to help others who will never come into church. They just don't know. They just kind of forget things and they kind of lose their way a little bit. How many remember that old line, Space, the Last Frontier? Remember that? Starship Enterprise? Woo-hoo-hoo! Well, I'm not really a Trekkie, but there was that aspect, as you know, that was basically all about fiction, right? Some of you are shocked. No way. So it is. I'm sorry. You know, these other little aliens and civilizations out there somewhere, fictional. But there are things that are not fictional, and that is angels. Angels are not fictional. Those are real life beings, non-fictional beings. We need to remind ourselves of that. Just something to note, too, I think it's worth noting, because in 1985, National Geographic produced something that basically there was an explorer, a biologist by the name of Bruce Robbins, and he put together a one-man submarine, and he went off our Pacific Oceans here, and he dropped into some depths of 500 meters, 1,500 feet, what he called basically the dark of the ocean. He called it like ink dark. And the mini sub had lights all around it because you could not see a thing. And what he saw basically and reported and took pictures that all of a sudden these semi-transparent creatures that lived on the ocean floor existed there, never before. And out of the dark, all of a sudden this thing came along that basically had thousands of tentacles and thousands of mouths on those tentacles. And it was 120 feet in length, just blew them away, shot pictures of it. We don't know those creatures are down there. I mean, you just don't, we don't think about it, but they're there. Isn't that true? Huh? Let's go in the water now. How about it? A little wiggly, 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 wiggly. And it's the same with spiritual things as well. See, we disregard the things that are going on in the ocean. We just don't really think about that. It's the same with the spiritual realm. We're just kind of don't pay much attention to that, but nevertheless, it's very real. God, demon, angels, very real. And angels are very popular in our day and age. In your day and age, they're very popular. We do like things, but we have an image of what an angel is. How many remember It's a Wonderful Life this last holiday with Jimmy Stewart? Remember how he played that man, George Bailey, just dreaded life and was about to commit suicide, and this wonderful little elderly angel looking for his wings saved him. Isn't that great? And so we think, well, that's what an angel's all about. They want to earn their wings, but it is worth noting, Publisher Weekly said that 5 out of 10 books published have involved angels somehow. People are interested in reading about them. We have major magazines, Life Magazine put out In Search of Angels, Time Magazine put out an article that was Angels Among Us, And we have basically in our society, 69% of people believe angels exist, where there are also 32% of people polled said that they felt that they've had an experience with an angel or been brushed by an angel. We have people that come along and collect angel artifacts, whatever that might look like. And so people are intrigued with that. So we're taking a look here, a couple of things. Number one on our notes, the identity of angels, some attributes about angels. I'd like us to actually start in Luke chapter 1. Let's go to Luke chapter 1. Let's just read something that we're very familiar with and just have a better perspective when you start taking a look at angels. I'm in Luke chapter 1, verse 11. So we're in the New Testament, third book into that New Testament Bible of yours. Luke chapter 1, verse 11. Let's check it out together. It says, Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard." Now, Candy, take a look at that. If we were to take a look, your prayer is heard. Oftentimes, angels are in response to your prayers. I just want to let you know that. Acts chapter 12, the church was praying for the release of Peter. He was in prison. Herod was going to take off his life. And in response to the prayers, they send an angel to rescue him. Isn't that amazing? Just want to mention that. Your prayers have been heard, verse 13, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. Let's take a look at verse 26, same chapter. Now, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. Now, it's interesting, going a little bit further, and having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, for the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." Let's move on to chapter 2. Just take a look at that. Chapter 2, verse 8. Chapter 2, verse 8. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people." And then all of a sudden, verse 13, man, a multitude of angels just take off and erupt. And we say, look at that, praising God and saying. I just want to make mention of that because we're going to talk just a little bit. But angels often say their praise. Say their praise. The Greek word is legos, which is really words. And so usually our little Christmas hymn, you know, "Hark the Herald Angels Say." No, we sing. So, but it is important to recognize in our own praise to God, often it is just say your praise. We're wonderful, and the scripture does talk about singing, but saying praise is worth noting. Well, let's look here, point number one as well, the identity, letter A, they are invisible. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 13. Let's go to Hebrews 13, very close to the book of Revelation. You'll see it there, Hebrews 13. Verse 2, Hebrews 13, verse 2, it says, "Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some have unwittingly entertained" who? Yes, who know? You may have come across an angel. No, that can't be. I mean, I didn't see any angel wings. There was no halo over that little gunny sack. You don't know. You really don't know. So, no flowing robes, no harps. You just never know. You could have come across an angel. They are mentioned throughout Scripture. There's references of them in 17 Old Testament books. There's mention of them in 17 New Testament books. In the Bible, the word angel, which means angelos in the Greek, which means messenger. An angel is a messenger. That word angelos is mentioned about other people. It could be a person. Primarily, it has to do with an angelic being, but in the New Testament, 103 times the word angel is used. In basically 165 times in the New Testament, 103 in the Old Testament. So the word angel is used a lot in Scripture. Even in ancient culture, Ancient culture, Babylonians have depicted angels involved in their history, the Greeks, Romans. We have even Muslim legend has that Muhammad was transported into heaven. He saw an angel with 70,000 heads, and on 70,000 heads were each head with 70,000 faces. I mean, it goes on from there. How many know it's just myth? But in the process, 70,000 faces had 70,000 mouths, and each mouth had 70,000 tongues, and each tongue had 70,000 languages. So everybody has something of an angel involved there. Scripture talks a lot. In Job chapter 38, verse 4 through 7, when Job was complaining, "Where is God? I want to register my miserable complaint." God shows up and says, "Hey, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding there, Job. When I laid the foundations, stretched it out, and there formed it, and all the sons of God shouted for joy." Then New Living Translation, all the angels of God rejoiced. They were there at the creation. It's interesting. Man, what a sight that must have been. How about it, huh? I mean, activity, a lot of it going on. Let's look here. We have letter B. They are immortal. Means they will live forever. They were created. Angels were created. But Hebrews 1:7 and Hebrews 1:14 says that they are ministering spirits. Now, that's important to know. They're spirits, which means they don't have a body like yours. They're not susceptible to decay. They can do things that a person with a body cannot do. In other words, they are unhindered. They are unrestricted to structure. They move in and out. You and I are confined to certain structures. But they are a spirit. And they, it's worth noting that they also, because they are immortal and created, they cannot procreate. Matter of fact, Matthew 22:30, Jesus says that basically you're misgiven. They're like the angels of God, neither male nor female. In other words, there's no marriage in heaven. So hang on to the one you got now here. Amen? Okay. How about as well? It's important that we take a look at that. So in reference to this, they do not decay. They do have those opportunities on special occasions. God does allow them to be seen. They can be seen for whatever reason. I'm not sure. Most say, why is God letting people see an angel? But they're in this room. You cannot see them. There's probably at least one assigned to you. We'll take a look at that. But they're there. In the Garden of Eden, they were able to see this angel that protected the entrance into the garden. So there's areas, remember when Abraham was inviting these three men that were angels visiting, he ate with them, upon which they were going to describe to Abraham what they're about to do with Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, what do you feed an angel? Right, angel food cake, in case you see one. Okay, all right. You're learning a lot here today, I know it. It'll come in handy one day. So in Acts chapter 12, verse 7, they work in special ops. The one rescues out Peter from jail. Also, they seem to just not want to receive worship. And that's in Revelations 19:10. John is overwhelmed with the revelation he's seen. And he goes down to worship. And the angel says, "Get up. Don't do that. Worship God, for I'm just a fellow servant like you." Woo-hoo! So if you ever have an angel and you get just blown away, say, "I'm going to, you know, kind of light an incense to that thing or worship it," and it is glad you're doing it, get out. Get out. It's a demon happy that you're bowing attention to it. And listen, those demons will love to have any attention, even if it's negative attention. It's just, man, worship God. How's that? If you're going to go after something, go after the one who has all control. Letter C, they are innumerable. Innumerable. We saw Luke 2:13, basically, that it says a multitude of heavenly hosts proclaiming and worshiping God, basically. Also, Revelations 5, verse 11, John says, "I saw thousands times 10,000s and thousands of angels around the throne." In other words, there's a lot of angels. Somebody said, well, think that when God says that you, Abraham, will have descendants like the stars in the sky and like the sands on the shore. Man, that's a lot of planets out there. Isn't that true? And they don't know how many planets are out there. They take a look at the amount of galaxies that contain each galaxy, at least a billion stars. They're thinking there's a billion galaxies. And some say that each angel has responsibility to each star. We don't know that for sure, but let me just tell you, there's a lot of angels. And so as we look here, it's worth noting. There are three names in Scripture of angels, and that is basically we have Michael, then there's Gabriel, and Lucifer. They are the only angels we have of names. Michael seems to have oversight of the nation of Israel. That seems to be because Daniel calls him the Prince of Israel. And so, your prince. And it's worth noting because Israel's been pummeled and leveled 36 times, and it's risen 37 times. So, he's doing pretty good. I mean, no nation has been assaulted like the nation of Israel with Holocaust and just all kinds of persecution. And then we have Gabriel. He seems to be that special messenger, not just in dealing with baby announcements, but he's involved with really the life of Jesus, the amount of times the angels are involved there. And then we have basically a cherub is really, Satan was a cherub. Remember we saw last time we were together, God's word says that you were the anointed cherub that covers. And so a cherub was responsible and continues to be one who attends to the presence of God. They're in the presence of God. And then the seraphim is another form of just hierarchy or the working of angels. And they, that word seraphim, means burning ones or on fire. So they have that aspect of burning devotionally to God, burning in worship. Remember in Isaiah 6, man, those were seraphim that were floating around the throne shouting, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. Man, just the glory. I mean, it was a blaze of glory. And then Isaiah says every time they spoke, man, the pillars were just reverberating. I mean, they must have some great lung capacity. Every time they speak, it's shavavoom. I almost got there, don't you think? Like a little octave there. But it's worth noting. So how about, that's their identity. Number two, the ministry of angels. I think it's worth noting. Their characteristics. What is their ministry? What do they do? Number one, or letter A, that they stand in God's presence. Let's look at Revelation chapter 5. Would you go there? We've made reference to it. Revelation chapter 5, verse 11. Now let's go to verse 1. That's just a great section of Scripture. Revelation 1, 5. And I'll go all the way to probably 14. And I saw on the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside and on the back sealed with seven seals. Then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals? And no one in heaven or on the earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it. So I wept much because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to look at it. But one of the elders said to me, do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals. And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent out into all the earth. And he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, which each having a harp and a golden bowls full of incense, which are your prayers. And they sang a new song, saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God. And we shall reign on the earth. Then I looked, And I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, I heard saying, "Blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever." Man, take a look for a moment. Verse 12, saying with a loud voice. See that there? Oftentimes we might think the angels are out there singing this, but they're saying this. And that's encouraging for me, and it's encouraging for you. We're grateful when we have songs to sing by, but the angels often are saying their praise. The 24 elders sang it. We know in the New Testament we're to sing our praise. But it seems to be in Revelation, till redemption is complete, they're just saying their praise. The angels in Job sang at the creation of everything, then the possibility when sin entered our planet, now they're saying their praise. And if you didn't somehow maybe want to praise the Lord today, okay, man, I mean, praise is rocking it in heaven. So that is something that is constantly taking place. And I'm telling you, wait till we get a glimmer of even some of what we just enjoyed in the book of Revelation. So how important, they stand in God's presence, so vital. Letter B, they share in God's work. I like that. We read out of Luke chapter 1, did we not? And saw that basically it seems as if you were to look where angels and the names are listed, they're involved in creation. We know that they're involved in revelation because Daniel receives answers to his requests. An angel comes and shows him what's about to happen with Israel in the latter days. We know that John, in the book of Revelation, an angel appears and they're starting to show more things to him. They're involved in God's work in that regard. In the giving of law, the angels were there in Sinai. It's an amazing thing how the angels are involved. How about in the life of Jesus? Mentioned about that, whether that's Gabriel or others. At Jesus' birth, angels are involved. At basically to that little girl, hey, guess what? You're now with child of the Holy Spirit. Now, that would be helpful saying, how am I going to tell this to my fiance, right? I mean, unless Joseph had an angel visit, and he did, that would be a hard one to swallow. Your fiance is pregnant. Yeah, and it's of God. No way. Unless he has an angel tell him so. That was very important visitation. Wouldn't you agree? Yep. And so in that, when we look here, it's mentioning as well when Jesus then was very young, an angel told Joseph, hurry now to Egypt. Man, Herod is going to kill him. And an angel told him, now the one who sought the child's life is dead. Get back on up there into Israel. So it's worth noting, how about when we take a look, Jesus was tempted, says that the angels then at the end of it minister to him. So, wow, they're really involved in the life of Jesus. How about when the resurrection took place? The Bible says that there was an angel that rolled the stone away, and then they kind of like sat on the rock and waited for visitors to tell them. Isn't it cool? I mean, hello? Don't you love that? Man, who knows how much an angel has been involved in your life? You're inheritors of salvation. Hebrews 1:14. Who knows? Who knows? It's worth noting. You're not engaged in that reality. I'm not either. I'm just, man, sometimes we're just on a temporal plane, on a natural plane. It's worth noting. Letter C, they send God's judgments or judgment. 2 Kings 19:35, I just listed there. You can read it later, but it's basically the story of Jerusalem's surrounded by the Assyrian army. Sennacherib is threatening, we're coming in and we're going to demolish you, one of the many times, but not today. Because one angel goes out and wipes out 185,000 Assyrian troops. One angel, 185,000. Man. Brings out God's judgment. That's what the Bible says. They're pretty strong. We know the fact, too. I like Revelations 20, 1 and 2. You may want to take a look at it later. Revelations 20, 1 and 2. John says he sees all of a sudden, boop, out of heaven comes one angel with a chain in his hand, grabs Satan, binds him, throws him into the bottomless pit. God doesn't even dirty his hands. Huh? I'll just get an angel on him. Man, tell me, who's got the strength going on? Woo, don't you feel? I'm feeling pretty pumped. I'm telling you, it's an amazing thing. The angels bring the judgment of God. We, in Genesis 19, verse 5, two angels show up at Lot's house. Remember that? There we think that they probably appeared as men because the men of the city are saying, send those guys out that we might have sexual relationships with them. And that was a perverted town. And so they thought they were men. So it must have been something going on. And those two angels were there to get them out and all of a sudden rain down God's judgment. How about the aspect, I like Matthew 26, 35. That's where Jesus comes along and he's telling his disciples when he's being arrested in the garden. He says, Peter, put away your sword. Don't you know I could call 12 legions of angels? Man, 12 legions, basically it's 72,000 angels. Now, if one angel can wipe out 185,000 troops, how many know that? Jesus really went to the cross for you. He could have just said, you know what, I'm done with this gig. But because of his love for you. So with that, it's important. The tribulation's going to be tough. Angels are going to be sent. Bible talks about those seven angels releasing those bowls, releasing those scrolls. It's worth noting. Matthew 13, verse 41 and 42, worth noting as well, which says, the Son of Man will send out his angels. And they will gather out of the kingdom all those that offend and who practice lawlessness and will cast them into the furnace of fire where there'll be wailing and gnashing of teeth. That's interesting. That's what the Bible says. Jesus is the one that's describing that. Letter D, they serve God's people. That's the part I love to talk about. They serve God's people. And it's worth noting because Psalm 34 verse 7 says, the angel of the Lord encamps around those that fear him and to protect them. And that's important. I like that. I believe that. Hebrews 1:14, that's worth noting as well, because it says that angels are ministering spirits sent to minister to those who will inherit salvation. Friends, God's working everything he can to get you there. And how many know, I know how susceptible I am to say, it's hard work to be holy. Isn't it true? I mean, it is. But man, it's a safe place. And the angels are there to help us say, stay on that straight path. Some of the things, number one, they're there to protect us. I like that. Remember Daniel in the lion's den? About Paul when he's on board a ship to Rome in Acts 27, verse 23. And the ship is about to go down. And he gets to these sailors and says, fellas, don't fear. An angel of the Lord appeared to me last night saying, all the lives on this ship will be saved. That's pretty important. Said, but you got to stay with the ship. Don't jump. So angels do protect us. You may have had that happen to you. Somebody just say, you may need to take this step or go in this direction. Number two, they bring revelation. Mount Sinai, how about to Mary's pregnancy? They come and they bring us announcements. You just never know. Have you ever just had somebody randomly say something or over the radio, just like, wow, I needed to hear that. Woo-hoo! I'll let you come to your own decisions on that one. But they do bring revelation announcements. Number three, they are answered to our supplications, which means our prayers. Look at Acts chapter 12, just for a moment. Let's go to Acts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Acts chapter 12. And if our worship team's up, we'll bring them on here. So how fun. I mean, we are so blessed, are we not? Man, God loves us. I think it's worth noting how the angels, it says they're scratching their head, longing to look into this gospel. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 12. Man, do you know they are wanting to find, why does God love you so much? What is it that God's trying to do? They long to look into this. If you get a revelation of God's word or his love for you, man, that's what the angels would love to grasp. And we take a look here, we see in Acts chapter 12, it says in verse 1, "Now about the time Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some from the church, then he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword, had his head removed," is what it's referring to. "And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to seize Peter also. Now when it was during the days of unleavened bread, he was about to bring him out." So we can see here, verse 4, "So when he had arrested him, put him in prison, and delivered him to four squads of soldiers to keep him, intending to bring him before the people after Passover." But look at verse 5. "Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church." But constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. But constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. Don't stop praying for people you love. Don't stop praying. Answer, an angel comes, has to knock Peter's shoulder, wake up. Everybody else is not off. The chains drop off. And he is let out. He thinks he's dreaming this. And then he's outside the gates. And he wakes up, the angel disappears, and he goes to where the church is praying for him, knocks on the door. The little slave servant girl hears his voice, runs in. Peter's out front, and they think you're joking. Remember, you read that. It says it must be his ghost. He's dead. Big faithful people of prayer. Isn't that true? Like, and then they go, "It is Peter. How did you?" An angel in response to their prayers. That's a good word for any of us that say, does prayer ever work? Is God ever going to answer anything? Is he doing anything with somebody in prison for me? Man, I like that. How many say thank you, Pastor Paul, for bringing that to our attention? We needed to hear that. Keep us praying. And finally, number 4, and we'll, the angels are there to attend to us when we die. I like that in Luke chapter 16, verse 22. Luke 16:22. Rich man and Lazarus. The rich man, he got a burial. You know, rich people can afford the burials, right? But the little poor man, Lazarus, says the angels gathered him up and bring him into Abraham's bosom. That's going to be quite a trip. When you and I, who knows, is going to come and gather you when that time comes. But they're there for us. They're there to serve us. And those are some of the ways. Say, well, should I worship an angel? Don't do it. They're just ministering spirits sent from God to let you know more about him and know what he have for you to do. Well, let's close our Bibles. Let's drop our house lights down. Everybody got your Bible closed? Let's stand to our feet. Let's sing this one little song. I'll be back to lead us in prayer. Let the Lord just kind of help us realize we are not alone on this planet. Everybody thought about UFOs? Here we go. We sure want each of you to experience the love of the Lord. Who knows how God tries to convey that to you personally? I had in the first service asked this question. I'm going to ask it in this service as well. If you've ever had what you feel was an angel encounter, you don't have to raise your hand, but would you just raise your hand and say, I have. Now, I remember, I believe an angel bailed me out of a 6-car pileup because my steering wheel corrected itself. And I was then from the back, the 7th car of a collision, I was now parallel to the 2nd car from the front. It was my own foolish driving. And I'm so grateful to God to this day, seeing that steering wheel fishtail of my car go like that. Amazing. I cannot explain it happened so quickly. Sometimes you kind of nod off and realize, wow, look at, I'm here. Now let me ask you, how many feel like they've had an angel encounter, maybe? Raise your hand. Now it brings a little more, good, good. Now you never know, you never know. But I would just say this, it's God trying to say how much he loves you. You're here today, you must have had some help from God somewhere, or else you would be dead. So the Lord in his graciousness, who loves you so very much, please take that and tell someone how much God loves them as well. You're here to get the gospel out. Tell somebody that Jesus loves them. Let's close our eyes. Let me pray you off. If you are here by chance and you need Jesus in your life, would you briefly pray this prayer with all of us? It goes like this. Dear Jesus, I like you. I need you. And I ask you now, Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Come into my life. Help me, Lord. I want to live for you right now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, we want to thank you. And Lord, as you're going to answer prayers, as altar individuals are here to pray, thank you for your graciousness and blessings upon each person here. Lord, we sure feel well taken care of. We recognize there's a whole nother dimension of workforce caring for us and ministering life to us. Boy, we just say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And now as we go, feeling very embraced, loved by you, Almighty God, we go really as messengers ourselves, saying, Jesus loves you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
You've been listening to Hope Chapel Huntington Beach's Sunday Celebration Service. If you'd like to hear more of our messages, or if you're interested in finding out more about Hope Chapel Huntington Beach, then please visit our website at hopechapelhb.org.